For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
I mean, it's awesome when the boys are clicking. You know, it's always fun to watch us score runs. I love when the Cubbies are hot. I like guys going up there and just swinging it. And I feel like that's what we've been doing lately. You know, finding a lot of barrels. And, you know, like I said, when the Cubbies are hot, it's always fun to watch.
If you're enjoying the Cubs run, so is Justin Steele. Right now, in terms of on-base plus slugging, an easy little shorthand to look at the quality of an offense. It's not the only one, but, you know, are you producing? Are you getting extra bases? Are you slugging? Are you getting on base? The Rays are number one. The Cubs are number two. Dodgers are now number three, having made quite a push here in recent days on the strength of James Outman and Max Muncy, who's out of his mind over the course of the last week. So you've got two of the top three offenses in baseball over there at Wrigley Field, and pitching for those teams today, Clayton Kershaw and Marcus Stroman. That means Justin Steele is not pitching today. That means he's on Hit and Run on the Score.
Justin off to a real good start. Fastball, slider, curve, ball. There'll be an occasional changeup from time to time.
Swing and a miss, tied him up, and Steele able to get a lead miss Diaz.
I saw that you're in the 99th percentile in terms of barrel percentage.
Well, let's stay right there.
Swing and a miss, strike three. Another strikeout for Justin Steele. That's his fifth already.
The characteristics of his fastball were such that he had as unique a fastball right now as maybe anywhere in baseball. It's just so hard to square up, to barrel up. They call it the cut ride fastball.
I mean, that's a really cool stat. Thanks for sharing that with me.
Martinez is 0 for 2. He swings and misses strike 3.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Justin Steele having a terrific start to this season, picking up where he left off last season. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Justin, good morning. Thank you for the time. How you doing?
Good morning. How are y'all doing? I'm doing just fine.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, last time you were on last year, I gave you that barrel percentage stat, and you didn't know it, and you said what was used there in the open. Like, that's a cool stat. Thanks for letting me know. And now my producer won't stop playing that. Anytime anybody brings up a stat, you've become part of the soundboard here of saying that's a cool stat. So thank you for that.
I love that. I love when podcasts or radio shows have little sound bites that are like really funny and catchy. Like that's honestly one of the things that kind of get me going.
Right? Yeah, me too, man. Believe me, that's why we're in the business. You know, it's that's kind of fun stuff. I was looking at it this year. I was looking at hard hit rate among all starting pitchers. Marcus Stroman is third in all of baseball. Drew Smyly is fourth, and you're sixth. In all of baseball, man, that'll work for a rotation. The three of you guys are not giving up hard contact. Is that part of a mindset that you're doing, or is that just a product of the way you guys go about business?
I mean, as far as starting pitching goes, you know, you're out there to get, you know, try and get deep into the ball game. You don't want to tax the bullpen or anything. So we're out there trying to get, you know, as many outs as fast as possible and least amount of pitches as possible. Like, yeah, you know, starting pitchers, we like our strikeouts and stuff. But, you know, when you have as many gold gloves as we do behind us, you know, you want to get some guys involved, you know, one pitch, two pitch outs, you know, just so you can get deeper into the ball game. And, You know, I feel like as a starting staff, we've just done a hell of a job at that this year, you know, putting the ball in the zone, making them have to hit it, and, you know, but, you know, just executing pitches when we need to.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. It's run prevention. You got teammates behind you, right? Use them.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of hardware behind us, so you might as well just let them use it. You know, you don't have to go out there and strike 27 guys out.
How about you, Smiley, being as good as he was the other day, and the way that thing ended? That was cruel. The perfect game ends because two guys are trying so hard. That ain't right.
Oh man, the jokes are endless with that play and how it happened. As soon as Smiley came out of the game, I was like, hey, you didn't know you had to recover an onside kick today or recover a fumble today and get smeared by the catcher. The jokes were just rolling, and they're still rolling even today. It's funny. The next day, I was like, hey, Jan, we got the Oklahoma drill set up outside. So, I mean, the jokes were just rolling on. So, I mean, it was obviously like, it sucks to see it end like that, but man, what a performance that was. That was a lot of fun to watch. You know, everybody was really excited for him.
You know, and how Jan was about it, wearing the football helmet after the game, and you saying like how the jokes are rolling. I feel like that kind of thing says a lot about where this whole team is. The vibes seem to be really, really good, Justin. Are they?
Oh yeah, they absolutely are. This team's really meshing together, clicking. I feel like we're doing everything we're supposed to be doing as far as team chemistry. You know, we're going to dinners together and stuff. We're doing a lot of stuff outside the field to build on that team chemistry that we already have. And, you know, we got some similar faces in this locker room as we did last year, and then we got some really good new guys in here as well. And I just feel like we're all meshing and clicking on all cylinders right now.
Is there a benefit to that team chemistry that you could explain to listeners? It gets talked about a lot. Like, well, that's great. They get along. Are there any good? You know, like it gets reduced a lot of times. But what is the benefit of everybody getting along the way you do, maybe especially for a pitching staff?
I can't really speak for other guys, but for me, for instance, you know, if I'm really close to the guys that are, you know, playing defense behind me, or, you know, they're in the lineup for me while I'm pitching or something, you know, just it goes a little bit further. You know, like if I'm pitching and a ball is hit to somebody, you know, and vice versa, you know, they want to play defense behind me just because they know who I am. They know who I am as a person, and vice versa, I know who they are as a person. You know, we all like hanging out and stuff. So when we're all on the field playing together, you're playing for more than just yourself, because, you know, it definitely can be like that in some situations. If you're out there, you know, playing individually, you know, you're not really worried about the team and stuff. That definitely does happen in certain spots in the league. But with this team, I'd say we're all out there playing together.
You know, Jameson Taillon the other day said that if he goes to dinner with a bunch of guys and we have a good relationship, I might be comfortable going up to somebody like Justin Steele and saying, hey, dude, I watched your bullpen today. I saw this or this and that. If you don't have the next level relationship, I wouldn't be able to do that. And he talked about him and Joe Musgrove doing that in Pittsburgh when they were young pitchers. Like, so having that trust means you might be able to hear something from a teammate and tell them something if you see it. That seems tangible to me.
Yeah, exactly. That's just another step, another step in that process, just things you're able to do that you wouldn't be able to do if you didn't have that chemistry or that relationship prior.
So we hear a lot about you, Justin Steele, as having a two-pitch mix. He's only doing this with two pitches. That's not the reality, though, right? Now we've learned about the cut-ride fastball, so that means sometimes it's a straight four-seamer, and sometimes there's one that cuts a bit. And when they say slider, sometimes your slider looks like a slow curve. Like, how many different breaking balls or different sliders are you throwing during the course of a game?
So with me, I've always had pretty good feel for spinning the baseball. So I used to throw nothing but curveballs in the minor leagues, and I would do pretty much the same thing I'm doing with it now. I throw it harder, I throw it slower, put more spin on it, take some off, throw up strikes, upper chase. And with this slider, I just started throwing. I would say I have more feel with it, putting it for a strike. Same thing, it's manipulating the spin, manipulating the shape. So I can make it do different things, and just depending on the situation that I'm in. Same thing with the four-seam fastball. Like I'm able to, when I'm feeling good with a command that day, I'm able to put it up and in to a righty where it's bearing in on his hands. I can pop it up and away to where it stays a little more true and has a little more carry rather than cut. So, I mean, it's just all things, you know, you develop and you work on the day-to-day basis. And, you know, I feel like for me, the four-seam and the slider, they're kind of my bread and butter, and I just kind of just got really good at what I'm good at and executing them two pitches. And then when I need, you know, the actual curveball, changeup, sinker, two seam, like I also have them in my bag when I need them.
So how rare is it around like teammates that you've had to have the ability to mess with the shape of pitches during an outing like you do? It's not everybody can do that.
I think it's done a little bit more than what people think, and I think people do it more than maybe what they think they do. I feel like Marcus Stroman does it a lot with his sinker. I feel like he's able to manipulate his sink on his sinker quite a bit. Like, he's able to move it around. Same thing with his slider. I feel like he's able to manipulate it and move it around. I watch his bullpens all the time, and he's one of the guys that's so in tune with his body. It makes me want to be a lot better at being in tune with my body, because you watch him and see how he's able to manipulate the baseball and stuff. And it's because he's so in control of his body. So watching him makes me want to be a lot better at controlling my body and stuff. But I would say a lot of people do it. They just have their own way of doing it.
Got you. It's really interesting stuff. Hope you don't mind me nerding out a little bit about it here with Justin Steele. So how do you do that? Finger pressure? Like, if you want to take 4 or 5 miles an hour off a slider, or you want it to bite a little more 12-6, or like that kind of thing, what are you doing to change that?
You're just kind of manipulating, moving your hand wrist, you know, presetting it how you want it to break. So for me, like, if I want my slider to break more like a curveball, I'm going to throw it less like a fastball where I'm behind it. I'm going to get more on top of it on the other side of the ball and come through down on the other side of the ball and kind of break it off. And if I want it to be more slurvy, slidery, you know, I just kind of get on that side of the ball, and whichever way I want the ball to spin, I just kind of rip it through the ball that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, if it makes sense to you, that's all that matters. I think I got it. what's fun about your stuff is that it messes with the data, man. You may throw like that fastball with a little more cut on a given day, and then a little more ride on another day, or because you're targeting people. And then, like, has this ever been brought up to you by the pitching coaches, by Moskos and Hadavi? Like, man, you know, I can't look at this stuff because you're changing what you're doing up there all the time.
I mean, no, they like looking at the stuff when I pitch, just because like it is a weird fastball as far as the data on it. Stuff goes. It says it has like slider spin, and it doesn't have like good spin efficiency. So like 100% spin efficiency is obviously as good as you can do. I only throw my fastball at like 30-40% spin efficiency, so it's technically not spinning the best. But with that, it's constantly like bearing in on a righty's hands. So like when it comes out of my hand, it's like I'm a lefty, so it's kind of like coming from the lefty's batter box kind of deal, coming towards the righty, and the whole entire time it's just tracking in on their hands, and it's just hard to pick up.
Man, it's such cool stuff, because like once you're self-aware and you know this about yourself and you know what makes you difficult, then you add that into your confidence, and it's got to help you feel better about a game plan on a given day. It's like, I know that this works, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I mean, I was a position player. I was a lot better at hitting before I was good at pitching growing up. And I was in high school and stuff. I really took pride in hitting and stuff. And I know just about exactly how hard hitting is. So when I'm out there and, you know, things aren't going my way, I always think back in my head, what they're doing in there is pretty hard. Just try and get them out.
Yeah, Justin Steele signed a two-way deal at the beginning with the Cubs. He wanted to be a hitter, and now they took it away, man. They took it away. Those freaking DHs. Have you been lobbying Rossi for an at bat and a blowout? You guys have had a few blowouts this year already.
I won't be getting any more at bats anytime soon. But he knows how I feel about it. He knows I love swinging, and he knows I like getting in the box and competing.
Man, that's some crap. I'm gonna talk to that guy for you. Like, we got to get. Why not? I know you can get hurt and you're too valuable, right? Is that the deal?
Yeah, it's definitely injury based.
Oh God. You changed your whole routine and your mindset in the off season, getting ready for a full year of being a starter. Are you feeling the benefits of that off season plan and that ramp up that you did in the spring?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely feeling the benefits of it. You know, and I think it's just from all the work I put in across the whole entire off season, and even what I was doing at the, back end of last year and stuff. I think it's all just rolling over, and I'm just in a really good spot, and you know, really confident in the work I put in, and you know, just want to keep rolling.
34 starts and 180 innings. Is that still the goal?
Yeah, it's still over 30 starts, over 180 innings. It's still my goal.
It makes all the sense in the world. And how's young Bo Steele? Since he was born, your pitching has been really good. I don't think it's coincidence. I saw a picture of him that got tweeted last December. The cutest little chunky baby like they're supposed to be, man. How's he doing?
He's doing good, man. He's growing like a weed. He's a lefty as well. He's picking everything up in his left hand. He loves being just like that dad. I always get fired up coming home after the game and seeing him, that big smile. He's always excited to see me. But, yeah, definitely when he was born, a switch was flipped. You start looking at life a little different perspectives. You look at life with different lens. And, ever since he was born, I've definitely flipped the switch.
That's awesome. Yeah, man, it humbles us, right? My boy's 11. My boy's 11. And it's like, and I remember a friend of mine said to me, "Welcome to the fullness of human existence," when I had a kid. And I think about that every time. It's like, oh, this is what it is to be human. I get it now.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, Justin, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate you, and keep killing it. Keep having fun.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for having me. I'll take it easy.
You got it. It's Justin Steele from the Chicago Cubs on 670 The Score on Hit and Run. As I mentioned earlier in the show, since last June, the only starting pitchers with a better ERA than Justin Steele are Verlander, Cease, Otani, and Julio Urias. Julio Urias, who the Cubs have beaten up twice in the last week because they're ridiculous. Because they're up in a tree. Remember when Theo said that? What did they start in 2016? It's like 28-6 or something like that.
Crazy hot. They didn't lose their 10th game until like middle of May.
Yeah, and he said we're up in a tree. Didn't lose their 10th game until middle of May. And so that's where the Cubs are right now. I mean, it's like you look at that roster and you look what's happening there. The number of players who are exceeding expectations is what? 15? 17 players exceeding expectations? That's how you get where you are right now in the standings. I want to talk to you about my favorite player in baseball. I don't even know if everyone knows who it is. Chris Kampka is coming up at 10:40, the Sultan of Stat. Mo Vaughn at 11 o'clock. Ryan McGuffey at 11:40 to talk White Sox. Sean Sears has a guy he's dying to talk about. He has told me via text. He's told me via Twitter. He's told me on the Hit and Run shared Google document. So, yes, we will let you sing the praises of your guy in about an hour. But first, I'm going to talk about my favorite player in baseball. He's in town. He's in town right now. We'll discuss next on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
The runners take their leads. The set. There they go. The pitch. A swing and a smash. Fair inside third down the left field line. This could clear the bases. One run is in. Two runs are in. Here comes the third run to the plate. Scoring on a three-run double by Mookie Betts. And the Dodgers lead 4-1.
That's my favorite player in baseball. It's Hit and Run. Matt Spiegel here with you on 670 The Score. Talked a lot of White Sox. A couple of folks on hold. We will bring you in. One White Sox call, one Cubs call. We just talked to Justin Steele a little while ago. Chris Kampka at 10:40. Mo Vaughn at 11 o'clock. Mookie Betts is my favorite player in baseball. Has been for a while. I just think he can do anything. He could be a Gold Glove center fielder. Was he ever a Gold Glove center fielder? I know I think he's a six-time Gold Glove right fielder. Obviously, because that's where they have put him.
I think it was just right field.
Just right field. But he obviously could play center and did for 133 games for the Red Sox in 2015. And then they had Jackie Bradley Jr., who's even better than Mookie. So Mookie moved to right. But Mookie has also played all over the infield. If you're watching the Cubs yesterday against the Dodgers, you saw Mookie at second base. Mookie this week, after playing as much as he has, as far into his career as he is, 10 seasons, 1,133 games. As I mentioned, a six-time Gold Glove Award winner. Six times in the top 10 for MVP. Three times finished either first or second in the MVP. A six-time All-Star. I mean, outrageous. And there's a lot more we could say about Mookie. But this week, for the very first time in his big league career, He played shortstop. We'll tell you why he played shortstop in a minute. We'll tell you some of the circumstances around it, but I want to make sure you know that Mookie Betts played shortstop for the first time in his life, and the play-by-play guys from the Dodgers side told you a little bit why, as he fielded a grounder, touched second, and made a jump throw over a base runner for a big double play.
And there is Mookie Betts at shortstop. First game at short in the majors.
It's going to be fun to watch. When we moved him into second, all eyes were on him. He showed that he could be a very good second baseman at some point, even a gold glover over there. And a lot of confidence to move over to the shortstop side of the diamond. This is the cutter.
That's a ground ball up the middle. Mookie at short will step on second. Jump throw to first. That's two.
That's how you break into.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
A position, tie game, Wrigley Field, no early work. Have a baby, come to the park, pinch hit, get a hit, get your first ground ball, and make a 6-3 double play with a jump throw.
Man, the Dodgers have had all kinds of injury troubles, starting with Gavin Lux at shortstop after Corey Seager left a couple of years ago, and they didn't have anybody else to play short. They've got a kid there playing now, but, you know, Mookie, that's where they were going to get him into play. He knew he was going to play. Where was he? He spent the two nights prior in Los Angeles sleeping in a hospital chair as his wife was giving birth to their child. Here's Mookie on rushing to Wrigley straight from the airport that day.
I got here, what time did the game start, 7:45?
Yeah.
Got here at like 7:50, somewhere in there. Yeah, I got dressed and came down like the second or third or something like that.
So what have the last few days been like for you, Daddy?
Oh, man, I just been in a hotel room. I mean, a hotel room, hospital room. So sleeping in a chair, but you know, it is what it is. I have a healthy baby, wife's good, everybody's good, so can't ask for much more.
Unbelievable. Here's Mookie on playing shortstop for the first time in his life.
Mookie, I mean, come back out here, you're gonna step in at shortstop. How much fun was that for you to kind of just get things going again?
I mean, a lot of fun. That was like a dream come true. You know, I got drafted as a shortstop and hadn't seen it since, what, 2011, I think. That's the last time I played short. So getting out there was a lot of fun. Like I said, a dream come true, and I'm just happy we won.
Considering just some of the injuries that have been going on, has it been communicated to you that you could be doing that a little bit more at the moment?
I mean, I just told Doc, you know, I just want to win, so I'll play wherever. I do whatever. I grew up doing this, so it's nothing new to me. It's new to everybody else, but, you know, it is what it is.
Man. That dude. I grew up doing this. I mean, most of these guys were the best athlete and the best player on their high school team. So most of them were shortstop. Most of the pitchers were real good hitters, like Justin Steele was. But Mookie, center's fine. Right field's fine. Second base is fine. Shortstop is fine.
Be a professional bowler, too. It's whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. The other stuff about Mookie, you know, he has thrown not just a 300 game, but he threw a 900 series, if I remember correctly. He's an incredible bowler. There's video out there of him running pass patterns as a wide receiver, and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, that could have happened. Two other things. Two things I always think of with Mookie, part of why he's my favorite, is when he was scouted by the Red Sox and they took him in the fifth round, they were just starting to do this thing under Theo and Jed and Jason McLeod there, this neurological scouting thing where they were like testing your brain and testing your instincts. And Mookie is still the highest rated player they have ever scouted. Still number one in the entire database is that guy, Mookie Betts. That's number one. Number two, after I think it was the 2018 World Series, after a long game, Mookie went and fulfilled a commitment he had made to help deliver food to the homeless sleeping around the public library in Boston. And it wasn't just, here, let me bankroll this, let me go and help do this. So after a World Series game, and he told nobody about it, just happened to be captured by somebody who was walking by, said, is that Mookie Betts? And took the picture and it was out there. He's just done that kind of stuff because he likes to his entire life. So add those two things in. That's my dude. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on 670 The Score. Let's talk to Josh in Woodstock about the White Sox and whatever else he'd like to say on a Sunday morning on The Score. Hello, Josh.
Yes, hello, Mr. Spiegel. How are you this fine Sunday morning?
I am delightful. Thank you. How are you?
I was also delightful when I woke up this morning and I listened to your rant about my Chicago White Sox, and that mood quickly faded. I didn't know how bad it had gotten, but those stats are sad and depressing for sure.
Let me share those again, Josh, for anybody who missed it. It's an offensive profile check-in on the White Sox. They swing at pitches outside the strike zone more than anybody in baseball. They're dead last, 30th in MLB at O swing percentage. Their swinging strike percentage, when they swing, do they miss? 29th in MLB, ahead of only the Royals. When they swing, do they make contact of any kind? Their contact rate, 29th in Major League Baseball. When they do make contact, the ground ball rate is 30th in Major League Baseball. When they make contact, they hit it on the ground and they swing at crap. And it's been this way for a while.
I ask you to please not share those again.
All right. That's fair. I will not. Well, what can be done about it, Josh?
I don't know. That's one thing I'm asking you. I heard you speak on the Rangers. Like, how much of the Rangers' success is the Bruce Bochy effect? Because that's who I wanted as their manager. Would that have made a difference, in your opinion?
Oh, God.
So I'll just hang up and listen, and you have a fine rest of your Sunday, and thank you for everything, as always.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate the call. No, I don't think that the manager would have made the difference to this point in the year. I don't think so. No. I mean, the manager is a difficult thing to discuss, but overall, the organization vision has to supersede it. And that's why Tony La Russa is not number one on the blame list for what went on the last 2 years. Number one on the blame list is Jerry Reinsdorf for allowing La Russa to get in there and circumvent whatever Rick Hahn's best laid plans were. Number two on the blame list is Rick Hahn for his best laid plans and this roster construction. Okay? Tony was an emblem of how preposterous it was that the organization still ran like that. Now, would Bruce Bochy make a difference through 21 games rather than Pedro Grifol with a spring training? I don't think so. Is it still possible that Pedro Grifol could get some of these guys turned around and get them playing better ball within the first couple of months? Yeah, it's possible. He needs a hell of a lot more of an iron hand. And they don't really have the depth to do it. Like, Luis, come sit down. You're not going to play until you stop swinging at that absolute trash. And can you say that to that guy? You could certainly move him down in the order. How high is Robert hitting? Would you check the last couple of box scores as you're looking there, Sean Sears? Because
he was batting second yesterday.
Yeah, so still up there at the top or second. I mean, I'd put him at 7 or 8 and tell him why. That would be move number one. With the caveat of if this doesn't improve, if you don't try to get a better handle on that, and I don't see you working every day on that, then you will just be flat sitting, and I will sacrifice center field defense. Even though they're 7-14, you might have to sacrifice a couple of games to try to get a message across, since it is not getting through. It's crazy, man.
He's either let off or batted second in the last 10 games.
Okay, thank you. Perfect. So still leading off or hitting second. That ought to stop. That ought to stop today, and I don't think it will. I'm not saying you have to sit him down next to you, but at the very least, you got to move him to 7 or 8 and tell him why. Mookie Betts, his first ever start at shortstop today. Just saw the Dodgers lineup announced, so we timed that pretty well. Mookie Betts will start at shortstop today for the Los Angeles Dodgers at Wrigley Field. This is Tony in Milwaukee on the score. Hello, Tony. How are you?
How are you doing, sir?
I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on. I just had a very, kind of meatballish Cubs question. At what point are we going to possibly see Matt Mervis? And I know there's other guys at AAA Iowa that are absolutely destroying the ball, Morel as well. Maybe kind of come up and supplement our top five, which is killing it, right? And you can't have a season where we keep playing this good and we just hold it totally on the top five. So at some point, we're going to need to get Mervis up here to get something out of first base, right? You're going to need Morel up here just kind of to spell something else. So anyway, that's all I had.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call very much. Yeah, it's an interesting thing because clearly Eric Hosmer and Trey Mancini have been given some assurances on playing time and maybe length of time here. Obviously, Mancini has a 2-year deal. Hosmer picked up quickly. I'm sure there were other takers for Eric Hosmer making the major league minimum while the Red Sox and Padres split the rest of his absurd money. You know there were other takers. So what were the assurances that were given? I don't know. I also know that Hosmer has an on-base percentage of .316. Did have that double yesterday to straightaway center that was absolutely smoked. And look, he's not what he was either defensively or offensively, but he's not killing you as much as it might feel like he's killing you. But you add those things in, the fact that, look, the defense is still good. It is not elite like it was with Hosmer, but it is still good. And I'm sure the shorter answer is this. Mervis will come when it's obvious they need him. And while I think that he would be an improvement over Hosmer, I think you don't want to do business with free agents where you sign them and then you move on from them in the first month, in the first 21 games. Especially because the rest of your lineup is doing so well and you're getting power from Bellinger and Wisdom. You're not desperate for him right now, even though it can be frustrating. Morel is more interesting to me. Morel is one of those guys. I would sacrifice the ability of him to get at-bats consistently in AAA to bring him up and have him be a useful player here all over the field. But I'm funny that way. I also would never start Nick Madrigal at third base again in his life. I would.
I am right there with you, man.
Like, when I see Wisdom DHing and Madrigal at third, I go a little crazy. I'm like, no, Patrick, I'm sorry, man. I know you want to give him a blow, and that's what it's for, and I get it. I do. But, boy, if you want to get Madrigal's bat in there, and he's shown some nice ability this year, if you want to do that, then, DH him. 670, the score is where you are. We get Cam connected with my guy, Chris Kampka, coming up next on The Score. This is how we do it on 670 The Score. 10:40 when he can on a Sunday morning. He is the Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago, a close collaborator of the great Jason Stark. I think I should add that to your intro every week, Chris Kampka. What do you think?
That sounds crazy. I don't even... Could that possibly be true? Unbelievable.
Yes. Oh, it's true.
Oh, you know it's true. He joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. I saw you tweet out the link to his Weird and Wacky this week. His Weird and Wild week that was. I haven't even read it yet. Are you in that one?
There's a picture of a tweet I made, which is just like a funny joke tweet. But that's, you know, because when the White Sox had a game where Jake Berger had like a critical hit and then Oscar Colas had to walk off, and I tweeted a picture of Berger and Colas because that was the winning combination.
There it is. So now I see it now as I'm looking down in Jason Stark's piece of The Athletic. So not only are you a close collaborator as a fellow stat lover and baseball geek, but now he's taking comedy content from you. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, the stats are one thing, but the bad jokes too.
Yeah.
I'm honored.
Yeah. Just take him. You tweeted something I haven't been able to get out of my head, because I think it's like we get so excited through 20 games about the good and obviously so discouraged about the bad. You tweeted the link of the first player, or the list of the first player to 10 home runs in each season going back to 2010. And there's plenty of Mike Trout. There's Pete Alonso this year and Aaron Judge last year and Ronald Acuna Junior,
let me stop you there. There's one name on that list that just jumps off the page, isn't there?
I know it. Yeah, it's Eric Thames, right?
I love. That's why I love those lists, because when you can get one of those a name like Eric Thames on that list, is like, wow.
Yeah,
I remember him because he was awesome for a minute there.
He absolutely was. He had gone to Korea for two seasons and had changed his swing and who knows what else and came back a very strong and powerful man. So yeah, there's some, and you know, and Chris Davis with the K from Oakland, didn't he have like three straight years of the exact same stats one time?
Four straight years hitting .247 if my memory serves me right. I love that.
I know you did. So did I. But yeah, it's interesting. So what to make of the early season explosion from, say, a guy like Patrick Wisdom alongside Pete Alonso? You know, it's an interesting time to figure out trends like that.
You know, yeah, it might be one of these weeks that we take some time to revisit the career of Hank Sauer. That's a name from Cubs history that I think of when I see Patrick Wisdom's late blooming excellence.
I am now going to Hank Sauer's baseball reference page, and I see that his power years came at age, wow, look at that. Age 31 is the first time that he hit 30 homers in a season in 1948. He had served in the military in 44, came back in 45, then was a Cincinnati Red, and then several years, good years with the Cubs, including all-star seasons in 50 and 52. Three straight years of 30 homers at that point, 50, 51, and 52.
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination, I think, military. I think there were injuries involved. And, like, where do we play this guy? Because there's no DH. And that combination led to, you know, he's not really getting a shot until later in life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think those stories are the most fascinating in baseball. I mean, because don't give up. Hang in there. You know you have the talent. Mm-hmm. And eventually comes out, look at Patrick Wisdom this year.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. The Pirates just called up a guy, Drew, is it Magi? I don't know how to pronounce his name, M-A-G-G-I, but he has played more than 1,000 games in the minor leagues.
Yeah, I saw that pop up, and that kind of, you know, it's in this conversation. I love it. I'm excited to see what happens there. And no, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but... You know, a lot of us people, we read about baseball, and we never hear anybody say the name. So it's like, then you got to rely on pronunciation guides.
Yeah.
Thank God for those.
Yeah. I mean, the gift of the Magi, thank you, O. Henry, was M-A-G-I. So you add a second G. To me, that would harden it out. So I'd be going, I bet it's Maggie. I bet long ago somebody in his family was just like, Maggie's fine. That's okay, you know, just along the way. But we'll see. What do you got for me, Sultan of Stat, that intrigues you about both teams in town this week?
So let's start with the White Sox. And, you know, not the best of results, but let's look at something just very strange from Saturday. And the fact that they drew 6 walks in an inning. And, you know, because this is not a team that walks a lot. They have one game with 6 walks at all aside from Saturday, and that's it. And then they walked six times in an inning. And I was curious to know when's the last time that the White Sox had drawn six walks in an inning. And it is probably the most bizarre inning in White Sox history, maybe in Major League history, where they drew 10 walks in an inning. And yesterday was the anniversary, April 22nd, 1959, in the seventh inning in a game in Kansas City against the A's, another city for the A's. They won 20-6. They scored 11 runs on one hit, 10 walks, and three errors in the seventh inning that game.
Wow. So, I mean, that's crazy. As I look at it right now, the White Sox, in terms of walks, are at 27 as an offense. And as a pitching staff, in terms of walks allowed, they were 27th. They are second, unfortunately. So 29th out of 30 in walks allowed. That's not a good combination right now, Chris.
No, it's not. And you know, the walks have been, they've been a little better the last few games.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to take what you can. And I will say, you know, the fact that they were able to draw six walks in an inning, eight in the whole game,
yep,
was promising. And as you saw yesterday, they hit three home runs, but all solo, and then they lost. So eventually you're going to put these two things together. So if you have the homers and the walks, you're going to start winning some ball games.
Oh, look at that. We're joined by Earl Weaver right here on the hotline. That's exactly, you know, it's exactly the recipe. Yeah, because the multi-home run games the White Sox have lost so far this year.
They're 1-4. Now, the rest of the majors is 141-46, which is a 754 winning percentage. That's impossible.
That's crazy.
And there's no way that trend can continue.
No.
It's just one of these early season flukes.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Cubs, what do you got on the Red Hot Cubs, who, though they could be about to lose three out of four if at Wrigley today, they need to get a win to split this series. But what do you got on them?
I'm looking at the scoring. They scored 10 or more runs six times in their first 19 games this year. And they had six games with 10 or more runs all of last year, and it took them the entire 162 games to do it because that last 10-run game came in game 162. The last time they had six or more games with 10 or more runs in the first 19 games of a season was back in 1885 when President Grover Cleveland was around, 33 years before Grover Cleveland Alexander pitched for the Cubs. and the most fascinating thing about this 1885 thing where they had six games with 10 or more runs in their first 19, they were all on the road. The season started with a 24-game road trip. And they went 18-6 on that road trip.
Was the circus? Hold on. Was the circus in town? Why the hell were they on the road for 24 games?
You know, I don't know. But when they did finally have their home opener on June 6th, it was the grand opening of the new Westside Park. So it might have been something that the ballpark wasn't ready yet.
Sure.
Now, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
No, it's a good. Good guess, Chris. I bet the troughs weren't ready, you know? It's
like, oh, yeah, sure.
Guys were urinating in cups and leaving them by the bathrooms. So they had to wait and go on a 24-game road trip.
How about another note on that, though?
Please.
So their seventh game, they had a seventh game in game 22 where they scored 10 runs. And it was against all seven different National League opponents.
Wow.
So in their first 22 games of 1885, they had a 10-run game against each of the other seven games in the league, all on the road.
The other seven teams in the league. Unbelievable. I have learned so much about the 1885 Cubs. I had no idea that's where my day was going to go. That's why you're the best. The Cubs are third in baseball with 200 hits behind the Phillies and the Rays. They are, in terms of scoring runs, they're fourth behind the Rays, the Rangers, and Red Sox. These are heady times for that offense, but who knows if it can last. But
well, and they're stealing some bases, too.
Yeah, they are. Right now, they are third in stolen bases with 24. They've been caught eight times. So that's a few too many right there, 8 out of 32. That'd be exactly at 75%. You don't want to be lower than that. But, yeah, I mean, this is the brand of baseball we're getting out there these days. White Sox have stolen 14 bases. I'd like them to steal more, frankly.
Sure. I mean, and well, let's draw some walks, and they'll be able to.
Yeah.
They've been successful at a very high rate this year. I think they've only been caught once or twice.
Gotcha.
So, you know, they're picking their spots, and they're getting it done. They just need to get on pace more. Let's see the walk thing continue to happen, because you desperately need it. You can't have such a negative differential in walks.
You know how much I treasure the opportunity to talk baseball on a Sunday morning and do whatever the hell we want to do in this two-team town, and that means you, Chris Kampka. And how about Mo Vaughn as my next guest? I'm so excited to talk to Mo Vaughn.
I love it.
Right? An incredible slugger with a really great career and all told a really good guy. I'll tell you that I'll mention it to him. I interviewed him once on the South Side, or I tried to interview him, but he came on with Boers and McNeil later on that day, and he said that Frank Thomas should stick at first base. He shouldn't go to DH. He shouldn't just go to DH so fast. Should stick at first base. It didn't really hurt Frank at the plate, though, I got to say.
Well, I think if you'd asked Frank, he would have agreed.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I think most guys, they all want to play the position rather than DH.
I don't know if that was true at the time. That's interesting. I'll ask Mo. Chris, have a great day. Thank you so much, buddy. You're the best.
All right. Thanks, Beast.
All right. You got it. That's Chris Kampka. We'll talk to Mo Vaughn coming up next. We're here for some bonus time. We're here till 12:45. The value of team chemistry coming up later on. You'll hear from Nico Horner. He'll hear from Ian Happ a little bit later on. But yeah, Mo Vaughn of the Vaughn Hitting Academy next on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.